The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 1 Podcast.
And a very pleasant good afternoon. And, man, there's a lot happening in our little world, and we appreciate very much you dropping by for the next 4 hours. I think we will have quite a journey this afternoon. So let's get to some headlines, and we could spend the next 20 minutes on just what is happening. The Big Ten announces today it has a schedule, and it's starting early. A lot of interesting tidbits in this schedule, including an Ohio State-Michigan game earlier than usual. Right now, and everyone knows by now, we live in a fluid world. The ACC starts September 7th through the 12th. They play a 10 plus 1, conference games plus 1. Big 12 have not announced a starting time, although they have several schools, at least two, starting on August 28th. The Big Ten announced today they'll start September 3rd. That's a Thursday night. Pac-12, the 26th of September. The SEC, the 26th of September. American and Sunbelt on the 29th. So some schools will start on the 29th of August. The SEC starts on the 26th of September. Yes, there's a lot of chatter going on right now among coaches and fans. Big Ten players have responded to what the Pac-12 players had to say the other day. They have issued this on behalf of the college, on behalf of Big Ten players. This was in the Players Tribune. Quoting now, "We are deeply disappointed with the lack of leadership demonstrated by the NCAA with respect to player safety during COVID. We believe that the NCAA must, on its own and through collaboration with the conference, devise a comprehensive plan to ensure the safety and well-being of players leading up to and during the upcoming fall season. The NCAA, which is known for its zeal for regulations and enforcements, has had ample time to prepare for the safe return of its athletes to competition, yet it has done nothing." These are student athletes saying that, not talk show hosts. "Its laissez-faire approach is forcing each conference and each school to create its own plan, resulting in inconsistent policies, procedures, and protocols." A major statement by players against Mark Emmert and the NCAA. Incredible to think about this statement on its surface. This is continuing that they want oversight and transparency on health and safety issues, adherence to World Health, WHO, that's an organization that the government right now has withdrawn from, and CDC guidance for sporting events. In-season testing 3 times per week with immediate quarantine of any person who tests positive or exhibits symptoms. Whistleblower protection, that's really important. And scholarship and eligibility protections. Very interesting day in the Big Ten. Their voice has definitely been heard. Well, you would expect the NCAA to finally say something. Well, they haven't said very much, but the NCAA Board of Governors has allowed divisions 1, 2, and 3 to make a determination on their own by August 23rd. Schools must adhere to federal, state, and local COVID guidelines. Student athletes allowed to opt out due to concerns. So the NCAA, as usual, late. Heather Dinich has covered all of this brilliantly for ESPN over these very many months, and Heather is joining us now. Heather, thank you. I don't even know where to start. Let's start with the NCAA, because that was the story of yesterday. We were expecting something to happen. You didn't think D1 would come in, and nobody came in. What exactly is going on here?
Right. No news yesterday. They pushed it to this morning, and essentially they pushed it again to the presidents of those respective divisions to make their own determinations by late August. Division 3 has already canceled, so they've already done that. And I think that was an easy and expected move by many people, because so many sports and teams in Division 3 at that level had already canceled a lot of things. So the next question is, can everyone meet the requirements that the NCAA laid out today to actually have their fall championships? I thought one of the things that was also interesting, Paul, in that release that the NCAA put out is they essentially are also establishing a call line for whistleblowers, basically parents, students, athletes, anybody else who wants to call in and say, hey, things aren't being done right here, that is also going to be a part of the NCAA system. So a lot of different things in terms of the Board of Governors, but they put it back in the hands of Division One and Division Two and Division Three to make their own decisions by the end of the month.
Heather, this is a leadership group consisting, as you have told us before, of prominent people, including presidents. Why, especially in the highest level of competition, why do they keep kicking the can down the road at a critical time?
Well, Shane Lyons, who is the chair of the Football Oversight Committee, actually wants them to keep kicking the can down. And so do most of the conference commissioners and athletic directors of the Power Five, the Group of Five. 27 of 32 conferences wrote a letter last week, a couple weeks ago, saying, please have patience in doing this. And they want the NCAA Board of Governors to have patience because they're trying to have sports. They're still trying to play. And they're saying, look, if we are doing everything we can and bending over backwards to present these student athletes with a safe way to compete during the season, please don't put the brakes right now on a fall championship. Because if they can do that, they should be allowed to try to compete for a national championship as well. So a lot of people were saying, please just have patience and not invalidate all the work that we've done to try to get a fall season started.
And speaking of fall season, the University of Connecticut, which is between leagues and really on the dark side of the moon, announced today that it's not going to compete this year. It doesn't really set too much in motion, but when the story came out, it did seem to make a lot of people jittery.
And you would expect it to, because it's an FBS conference that's actually coming out and saying, hey, we're not going to play football this fall. That opens people's eyes, right? But I don't think it's going to have a snowball effect. I reached out to several athletic directors in three different Power Five conferences this morning, and each one of them texted me back the exact same thing, which was they think this is unique to UConn because of its financial circumstances, its struggles that it's had football-wise. And don't forget, the players said we would like to save our eligibility and use it at a time when it's safer. But UConn owes $17 million to the American Athletic Conference, Till. So when you think about the expense of testing not just football players, but every athlete at least once a week, all of those things are factors in that decision and, quite frankly, unique to UConn circumstances.
Heather, you've covered this sport a long time. I've covered it longer than any person alive. And I don't remember, I can't even remember the last big headline, because every time we start digesting something early this morning, there's another 10 things that have happened. And the most recent today is Louisville being yet another program that has shut down. And I don't have all the details. It looks like, based on what I've read, you may know more, that players went to a party and they have nearly 30 positive tests. Is that correct?
That's what I heard. Paul, I'm with you, man. I feel like it's an episode of The Onion. Hey, this just in. People went to a party and they got sick. I mean, it's not going to be the last time that we're going to hear this, right? And it's a lesson. And, I've said from the beginning, some coaches I've talked to have said, discipline, meaning following CDC health guidelines, not going to parties and things like that. Discipline this year might be the biggest team advantage that anybody will have.
Yeah, and I'm not joking about this, because we're talking about a virulent disease, but, I mean, we've all heard the same story. I mean, so many programs have had such high numbers that some of these protocols may not matter by the time we get to the season. The Pac-12, there's also news from them. There has been stories all week long about what's happening out there, and I would like you just to briefly kind of take us through where we are. The Mercury News and John Milner reporting that they are borrowing money to protect themselves, which isn't a bad idea. What do you know about this?
Well, just about as much as you do. I saw Wilner's report on Twitter pop up earlier, but I had a chance to talk to two Pac-12 players earlier this week, and they talked about how this is an opportunity not just to raise issues about health concerns for players during COVID-19, but also everything that we're talking about, post-career medical and health insurance, social injustices, everything that you can think of. This has opened the door to bring that to the forefront of discussions. And now the Big Ten is seeing the same thing. And I talked to Kevin Warren about it today. He spent on Monday 2 hours on a Zoom call with two student athletes from each school. So the more you see this, the more you can expect to hear empowerment and voices coming from the student athletes, which, quite frankly, we haven't heard enough of, I don't think.
Heather, before you go, we put up a graphic a few minutes ago and went through, starting on the 29th, I believe, of August, up until the 26th when the SEC and the Pac-12. I mean, predictions are absurd at this point. But if we actually get to that date and start seeing these games, and it goes without a hitch, I mean, that is just the most bizarre, maybe predictable start of a season from August 29th to September 26th. What does that say, if anything, about where we are right now?
Well, I think it's exactly a microcosm of where we are nationally. And, you know, Paul, you and I talked about this in March and April, just about how this is what it could look like, a patchwork of games and different conferences doing their own thing. Because at some point, as much as the commissioners talk and they try to stack hands on this, they have to do what's best in terms of the medical advice they're getting in their independent regions, right? So you're seeing disparities. And, you know, Kevin Warren told me today that if a team is quarantined, an entire team in the Big Ten, we're talking about two Saturdays of missed games, that's what their schedule allows this flexibility for. So all of those things are factors that were considered in the varying scheduling models that we've seen. But at the end of the day, they all got to pretty close the same thing.
Kevin Warren, before you go, he has certainly left a lot of doors open, as other commissioners have. But what's your takeaway from the conversation with him in terms of, I know what the schedule says, but what do you think he's indicating in your conversations?
Well, he's been very clear and upfront that this season might not happen. He said, we have a schedule in place and I felt comfortable releasing it today, but that was today and that could change tomorrow. He said they had to have a plan, obviously, and so they put one out and they felt comfortable doing it when we did. But we've all gotten so wrapped up in the news and the conference schedules being announced over the last week and a half that it is kind of gotten lost in the discussion that this might not happen at all. And I think every conference commissioner is still very prepared for that reality.
Heather, thanks. I know I've asked you pretty much the same questions times a thousand, but every day there are different answers. Thanks you for coming on. We'll see you tomorrow. Always great to visit.
Thanks.
Heather Denich with the latest, and we are off for quite a roller coaster ride today. Don't miss it. We have a lot to do, and including an athletic director from the ACC will join us a little bit later on. We'll try to get as much information as possible on yet another breakneck day in college football, and it's early August. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back to the program, and great to have you, and we will get to your phone calls finally at 855-242-7285. By the way, a lot going on today in and around the SEC. The University of Alabama Board of Trustees moments ago approved a raise for Steve Sarkisian, the school's offensive coordinator. He was making $1.65 million. He's now making $2.5 million. He is the highest paid assistant coach in the country. Let's continue with phone calls here and check in with Brian in Florida. Brian, thanks and good afternoon.
Hey, thank you, Paul. Good to speak to you again.
Thank you.
Talked to you briefly yesterday about the growing power of players. And
right.
Apparently, the Pac-12 has already put out a statement, and Big Ten is already drawing up representatives from each school. So there's no doubt this will get to every conference. So whatever these demands or requirements are going to have to be meshed up with what the NCAA announced today, and it's unfortunately going to be one giant headache. And if we're lucky enough, in my opinion, to even see a kickoff when it's supposed to happen, the powers that be are going to be playing the world's largest game, because every day is going to be another set of issues that are going to need attention, you know, within that 24-hour cycle. And I want to see, you know, kickoff as much as anybody else, but it's just going to be a bear getting this thing to go and to stay going, in my opinion.
Brian, I think the challenge is keeping it going. I don't think these people would be laying down markers in relation to starting dates if they didn't think they would get there. It would make no sense.
Right.
But I think just when the amalgamation of all this bad news, it's a lot to deal with. I mean, take the Louisville story. You can preach patience all you want, but a bunch of players go to a party and 28 or 29 get COVID. We've heard that movie before, and I'm not criticizing anyone. I was a 19-year-old once, and I would have gone to the party too.
Bobby Bowden is famous for saying back in the day that if discipline won football games, Army and Navy would be winning championships every year.
So, I mean, there's only – you can have all these protocols and, you know, disinfectant and hand sanitization and, I mean, all this stuff, and all it takes is one party to wreck the whole thing. And that's really sad, but it's also the reality of – this is college football. This is not professional football.
I agree. And, you know, Fraternity Row is still open on most campuses.
Yep.
Two quick things. I agree with you on UConn. It's a one-off. They were without a conference for this year anyway.
Yeah, they made the right call.
Being a conference. Yeah. Now, there's all kinds of other issues going on with that school. There's a book to be written about how they've mismanaged their entire athletic department. But this has nothing to do with it. They're homeless, and there's no way you're going to get 10 games with anybody.
No.
Last thing, if it ever gets to it, I have heard that the Florida-Georgia game is still in Jacksonville, and no one's talked about moving that to Athens because they're the home team this year. And I would be very surprised, or I don't get the point of them flying down to play in an empty stadium when they can just stay on a campus. And unless you've heard something otherwise, that's what
heard the same thing, but you know, right now we don't know where that game is on the schedule. So it's really difficult to make a prediction on that. Hey, thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it.
No problem, Paul. Thank you, buddy.
Always great to have you on. Charles is up next in Birmingham. Charles, how are you, my friend?
All right. How you doing, Paul?
Charles, I hope you've been doing better. I know the last time we talked to you, you were having a little bit of problem.
Yes, sir. I'm feeling a lot better.
Great to hear.
I'm feeling a lot better. Yes, sir. What I was calling you about is I wanted to get your personal opinions about this up-and-coming college football season and pro football season. I was listening on Pro Football Talk this morning about, you know, Detroit Lions quarterback, you know, that he was tested positive for the COVID-19, and now they're saying that he's negative. And I just want to get your opinion about, you know, how do you see this season going to play out this year, you know?
You mean the college or pro?
Well, either one, you know, college or pro,
you know? I think they're both seriously challenged. I think the NFL has a much better chance of pulling it off because they have a little bit more control. By the way, not a lot more control. Once you get to the season, but they have so much money. I think the upper echelon of college football could possibly pull this thing off, Charles. But I think outside of the SEC, I mean, the SEC, every team can handle it. Most of the Big Ten schools, but once you get to a certain point, I think a lot of programs if they don't fold their tent now, they will at some point. Mm-hmm. They just can't afford it.
Right. But now, is the SEC allowing the fans to go to the game this year?
Right now, Charles, what? I don't think there's a specific or definitive answer on that. I know athletic directors have all said whatever they have said. Ultimately, that is going to be a state guideline where you're in Alabama, so it's up to the governor to determine whether Alabama and Auburn fans can go in any number. Right now, I've heard 15,000, 20,000 on the high end, but it really depends on the circumstances at that particular moment. Charles, thank you very much for the call. We have to go to a break. We have a very busy show.
Right.
Guests are coming in
all
here.
Right.
Thank you, Charles. Great to have you on. We'll be right back with much, much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Well, a lot of conversation all day yesterday and today. What in the world is the Big Ten going to do? And nobody better than Teddy Greenstein from the Chicago Tribune. It's been too long since we've talked to Teddy, but we have followed him very closely. And Teddy, it's great to welcome you back to the program, and I'm just going to get out of the way, go outside, and let you tell us what in the world is going on from A to Z, from Rutgers to the Big Ten announcement today. How are you?
Man, Paul, it is great to be back with you. You know, everything's doing great in the Big Ten. I mean, you know, Rutgers has only 28 positive tests, and who knows when they're going to start practicing again. Michigan State, the whole team is in quarantine. Out here by me, Northwestern had one positive case, but because of contact tracing, they got a couple dozen players who were quarantined. Meanwhile, the Big Ten is attempting to plow ahead and come out with a schedule that, you know, says they're going to start playing on September 5th. So, I say good luck, and I hope it happens.
Well, let's talk about the disruptions first, and I know what they did today, and you can't blame a conference for going ahead and announcing a schedule. Fans do enjoy the red meat of knowing when the games are, even if they're not really going to be on those days. But how concerning is this? And I know I've read some of your pieces recently where you have suggested, I mean, that Kevin Warren could shut things down. I mean, Take us through that process right now.
Yeah, I mean, Paul, I really thought because of some stuff that happened in the last few days that they were teetering on the brink of doing that. You know, Jim Delaney, brilliant commissioner, but I think he would have approached this pandemic and said, all right, let's do everything we possibly can to fulfill this TV contract. Kevin Warren comes in and he's talking about student, you know, health, safety, and well-being before any of this. He's somebody who really is in touch. His son Powers, I'm sure, as you know, is a tight end for Mississippi State.
Sure.
So he really, you know, has a good feel, I think, for student athletes. So, you know, the last few days, the Rutgers situation, and then you heard, of course, about that Indiana mom, the mom of the incoming freshman offensive lineman, who says, hey, my son had 14 days of hell going through COVID, and he might have long-term heart issues. And to me, that was really significant because for all the people out there who say, oh, these are all, you know, strong, able-bodied young people who are not being hospitalized, well, now you've got a mom saying this is some serious stuff. So given all that, given all the fact that there are, you know, possible threats of lawsuits and players opting out and all that, yeah, I mean, I was certainly pleasantly surprised the schedule came out. But as Kevin told me last night, certainly no guarantee that these games are going to be played.
What would push him, and I mean, ultimately, I suppose, Teddy, it's the president's, although Kevin Warren seems to be flexing his muscle maybe more than any other commissioner out there, what would it take to tip this whole thing over?
You know, I just think we're so close. I think if there are enough players who are vocal on social media and say, we don't want to do this, we don't feel safe, if there are a lot of parents who come out and say it, and then if there's a continuation of Big Ten schools that have to shut down practice. I mean, So far, it's been 6 of the 14 that have at least had to pause their workouts. And, you know, currently it's Northwestern, Michigan State, and Rutgers. I think those are the three. So, you know, there are no students on campus yet, and we haven't even had a full practice, a full contact practice yet, and we already have these flare-ups. So if we've got more flare-ups, I think the president, the chancellors are going to say, you know what, we really want that $60 million to $100 million in revenue, but it just can't happen. I think the NFL's 50-50, and those are professional athletes, and you don't have to worry about them going into a classroom or a dorm.
Teddy, we joke a lot about SEC versus Big Ten, and I'll be careful how I say this because I know I'm going to give you a chance just to flatten me, depending on my – but the SEC has not shut down any practices yet so far.
Right.
and it's something I have talked about because – SEC schools are not releasing the information. I don't know how many Big Ten schools are, but it seems like enough of them have. And you know, you mentioned one positive. That's a good day some places.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, I think you wanted me to say it just means more. I mean, that's what we know about the SEC, and we certainly know about the Big 12, which is plowing ahead.
Oh, yeah.
And there were a lot of people who responded to my Northwestern story by saying, one positive? How can that possibly stop practice? But you know, Northwestern is following very strict protocols, which says anybody who was in six feet of that player over a certain period of time must be quarantined for a couple of days. They all must, you know, be negative. Now, you do have other schools like Illinois, I think, has had 18 positive tests, and they haven't had to pause their practices at all. And I think that's part of why, you know, you have these player movements now that are saying, wait a second, what are the rules, what are the protocols, and are we going to be safe?
And that's where I want to go next, because we've now seen two players groups come out. How would you characterize what we heard today from the Big Ten players?
Yeah, Paul, I would say today was like a kind of a light version of what the Pac-12 had demanded. You know, this was much less hostile, certainly more reasonable. There's no threat of a boycott. There's no demand for revenue sharing. This is really about health and safety. And I got to say, I mean, they have an advocate in Kevin Warren. I mean, if you want to have a commissioner who's going to listen to you, this is the guy. I'm just off the phone with him. And one thing he told me was, I'm not only encouraging communication, I'm embracing it. So he wants to set up meetings with these groups. Unlike you feel like a guy maybe like Larry Scott, who makes, you know, $5 million a year and really doesn't care what the players think. Kevin absolutely does. And I think the demands reflect that, you know, they see him as an advocate and they just want to attempt to do this safely.
Before we go, and I know there have been plenty of jokes today about the Ohio State-Michigan game being early and all these things. It's in terms of the start of the Big Ten season, it does seem aspirational to start on September 3rd. Your thoughts based on your conversations with Warren, based on your reporting, I mean, do you think we'll really see the Big Ten season start on that date?
I mean, I don't think we'll see the Big Ten season start at all. I mean, I'm in that group of people who has been saying, I think you've been trending this way for the last several weeks, that to me it's just basically inconceivable. You know, the bubbled sports, the NBA, the NHL, absolutely, they figured out a way to do it. Golf has been a raging success, but when you're talking about football, a contact sport, and you know, hundreds of teams with hundreds of players, and you can't tell them you can only spend time in the football complex or in your apartment. I mean, I feel like with NFL guys, you can do that. This is their livelihood. They are paid professionals, but you can't do that with college kids. So I will be pretty shocked if there's any Big Ten football, let alone on that first week in Saturday.
Hmm. Teddy Greenstein. Thank you, Sid. Thank you, Teddy. I mean, I'm never disappointed with you. And I hope you'll come back. And I won't say I hope you're wrong, because you know what's going on up there. And I think your point about Kevin Warren is so interesting. I've talked to him before about his son at Mississippi State, and he is passionate.
Right.
And that's interesting. Everyone else talks a good game, but he seems to be implementing it.
Well, believe me, Paul, I hope I'm dead wrong. You know, I'm one of these guys who makes his livelihood on college football. There's nothing I love more other than covering the Masters and covering college football. I just think we're looking at it, you know, some people are looking at it more realistically than others. But Kevin's going to be interesting. He certainly represents the presidents and chancellors who don't want to give up that money so quickly. But I wonder in the back of his mind if he's saying, wait a second, what are we doing here? None of this is really realistic. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Thank you, Teddy. Great to have you on.
And thank you, Paul.
This is someone who went to a Big Ten school, has covered the Big Ten brilliantly, and there you go. You have a commissioner up there who is in his first year, by the way, replacing one of the most legendary commissioners in history, in Jim Delaney. And his words speak for themselves, what Teddy just got through saying. We'll take a break. More to come on, we're only 41 minutes into the program. Feel like we've been here all day. Back with your phone calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back. A busy day. Let's grab some calls. And Sandy is in Chicago. Hello, Sandy.
Hey, Paul. How are you?
I am well. Thank you. Thank you very much.
So you and I spoke about a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about how it was your opinion and my opinion and a few other people out there thinking that there's no way that the university presidents were ever going to agree to allow a season to occur in the midst of so much uncertainty. And I'm just amazed now that we're 2 weeks later, Paul, and here we are, and none of the university presidents have taken a stand yet, certainly not in public. The fact that we're still having this conversation 2 weeks after we were having it, and the university presidents have not come out and just said, enough, stop talking. It's the only one who's looking out for the athletes right now are the athletes. The adults in the room are acting like kids, and only the kids are left to look out for the kids. And it's just very ironic. It's COVID is exposing the moral bankruptcy of FBS university leadership. And I'm talking all the way from coaches who are still denying that the virus is that bad, that they worry more about chicken pox or things like that, but all the way from ADs, commissioners, and now sadly presidents. Now, one of your last callers was talking about the Big Ten commissioner, Kevin Warren. Sounds like a decent fellow. But here's the problem. And let's let Kevin, maybe be a hero throughout this decision process. But there's two questions that university presidents, commissioners, ADs, coaches need to answer. They're obvious questions. They're clarifying questions. And they expose this moral bankruptcy that currently exists. And it's really simple. And, Paul, I wish you would ask every adult who's involved in the process, commissioners, ADs, whatever, every interview, just start off with these two simple questions, and then the rest of the interview almost doesn't need to happen. First question, what are the long-term health effects of this novel virus? The answer is we don't know because it's a novel virus. We don't know anything long-term about it yet. Second question, what percent of your football student athletes will contract this novel virus during a game or practice? So I'm just curious in your thoughts.
Yeah, and by the way, I would like to add one more to your list. How many have already contracted it?
Exactly.
And I know people are getting tired of me pushing that, but I applaud the universities that are being transparent, as ugly as it is, but at least we're getting an idea. And I know every time I say this, people will say, well, how do you know? But the numbers are very high at a lot of places. I mean, that's self-explanatory. I'm not identifying any school because that's not my job, but I am concerned about some of the disregard for it at particular places. And by the way, of all people sitting in this chair working for this network, I understand the importance of revenue in big time college athletics. I mean, how could I not? I'm involved in the Southeastern Conference network, and I work for ESPN. Nobody does more college football than ESPN. Nobody has a bigger stake in it. That has nothing to do with the question, though. The question is, what are we doing, and are we being transparent about it? And why is it, as you said, Sandy, why is it the athletes who are raising these issues? Why aren't the adults raising these issues? The adults are too busy talking about ticket sales, and I'm cautiously optimistic we'll have a full stadium, and we're looking for another opponent because we don't want to lose the $2 million. That's what I hear from the so-called adults in the room.
Yeah, I think the athletes are ticked off, Paul, and none of them can speak freely. They're not.
I think it's accurate. It is accurate. I don't have to use the word I think. I mean, we're hearing from them now for the very first time. Thank you very much for the call. I hope you'll call again. Sean is up next in Alabama. Hello, Sean. Hey, Sean, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hey there.
How are you?
I am doing well.
Hey, I got a question for you, and actually I got two questions, one quick one and one I'd like you to elaborate on a little bit. With all the different start dates and stuff, the SEC put theirs off to the 26th. The Big Ten apparently is starting to play the 3rd. Is that correct?
The Big Ten will play the first week of the season, yes.
Yes, and then all these other little conferences that, you know, my question is, I mean, I agree with the Big Ten and the other ones. I think it needs to start the beginning of September. That way, if you have a hiccup or two, it leaves you a couple extra open dates to, you know, to make up games. But the SEC could literally not even play a game due to the fact they're putting theirs off. Because if it derails and goes off the rails, I mean, there's no way that we're going to play. Correct.
Well, I would agree with you on that. If you see an accumulation of three or four conferences shutting down before the 26th, then the SEC would not start. I think that would be very unlikely. So, I mean, the argument, and I know there's a lot of dispute right now. I think some of it's from coaches who are saying, well, you're leaving us at a competitive disadvantage by starting so late in relation to the SEC title game and the college football playoff. On the other hand, the SEC, in many people's eyes, looks very cautious, saying we are going to wait. We're going to watch the first 3 weeks of the season, learn from it, and hopefully be able to get our season off in a reasonable fashion.
Well, you can learn all you want to, but from, you know, the 5 months that we've been in this already, there's one thing about COVID that I've learned, and surely to goodness every other human being alive has learned it. You really can't learn a whole lot by it because anything can happen any day. Everything could be fine today and completely gone tomorrow. So,
well, no argument there. Hey, thanks. Appreciate the call. We are heading to a break. Teddy with us earlier. We have more guests to come. We'll dig a little bit deeper into that Colorado State story in the next hour. We hope you'll stick around.